Welcome to the break room. How you guys doing today? It's Robert Littow from Black Sports Online, and I, of course, my co-host Jill Monroe from Jocks and Stiletto Jill. We appreciate you stopping by. You know, every week we talk about what's hot and what's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. We have a jam-packed show for you, so we're going to get right to it. We're going to get to your questions. We're going to get to these hot topics. I'm very excited about what's going on, and we're going to start off by talking about what everyone was talking about over the weekend, Andre Drummond. Jill was the first one to report on Drummond's Twitter romance with iCarly star Jenny McCourty, and a long time ago. She came on the podcast and said all of these crazy things about him. Jill, let's elaborate on what's going on between iCarly and Andre Drummond.
So you guys know another Woman Crush Wednesday scenario where Andre Drummond apparently had a crush on Jeanette McCurdy back when she was on iCarly and made her as Woman Crush Wednesday last year a couple of times in a row. And they went out, they went to Disneyland, laser tag, whatever. So Jeanette was on a podcast last week called You Made It Weird. And while on there, she started discussing her relationship with Andre and the scenario. And she was just like, she wasn't checking for him from the get-go. She said that it was weird from the gate. He sent her his number in Twitter DM right away because she followed him because all of his fans and so forth were telling her about his Woman Crush Wednesday. So, whatever, she wasn't feeling him. The text messages, there was no chemistry, but she continued. So he made plans like a week or two later to come out to LA to hang out with her. And he was here for a week. And they spent 5 of those 7 days together, but she wasn't feeling the chemistry. She still continued. And it just, I guess, because she was on You Made It Weird, she went on to say how, you know, their mouths didn't fit together when they tried to kiss, that she wasn't feeling him. She had to bring her friends on the date with her. And that on the last day that he was there, they went to lunch, and he was like, I'll be right back, and came back with this expensive necklace and got down on his knees inside of a restaurant and asked her to be his girlfriend. You know, Young Love, things don't work out, but she shaded the hell out of him, in my opinion, on the podcast. Like, you could have still told that story and left him with a little dignity. I don't know. Lesson learned. If she liked him, she probably would have enjoyed all the, you know, extra added attention and all those things. But when you don't like somebody, nothing they do is right.
So. No, I just got to shake my head. I got to shake my head to this. Because first off, you know, I'm an older gentleman. You know, but I remember, you know, when I was 20, 21 years old, you know, we have those little crushes and stuff, and we want to do all of the sweet things and all of the cute things and all of the nice things, and it only takes one. Only takes one girl to, you know, just mess it up for all of the rest of you for the rest of our lives. And
so you think that he's messed up for the rest of his life?
He's gone to the game. He's gone to the game right now because he will never fully trust a woman completely. Because she violated like 532 rules of the dating game. You know, like you said, if you're not feeling somebody, you know, that's fine. You know, I can accept it. I can accept, yeah, you're not feeling me and everything. But to go on a public venue and basically just call the man weird and that you didn't have, you basically made it seem like he was a weirdo and immature. I mean, like you said, shaded him to the point that, you know, it's like, why would you need to do it? Why would you need to be so cruel? This is a nice guy, getting on his knees, getting gifts.
But here's the thing, look,
it's just wrong.
here's my issue with that, too. He was being a groupie. Let's not act like he wasn't looking for his celebrity chick upgrade because he went balls out. You know, she said when they were on FaceTime, he would be getting a massage or he'd be shopping like, hey, you want these? And he'd have them sent to her and stuff like this. In the first week, he wouldn't have done that for Jill down the block. Not me, but, you know, hypothetically speaking, you know, I would have gotten all that.
I'm sure he was being a bit of a groupie,
and he was doing a lot, probably to impress her, probably doing extra because she was an actress. So, in some regards, you know, I feel like in a way, he might have gotten what he deserved, but at the same time, she kind of.
Well, speaking of getting what you deserve, you know, some of her lingerie photos were leaked, you know, because of this. Now, Drummond has come out and said, hey, man, wasn't me. And Drummond, hey, if it was you, trust me, I'll never tell if it was you or not. But What the birdie has told me is that it's not just lingerie pictures that are out there. There are some possible naked nude, you know, that's what the old people say, naked nude. Some naked nude pictures that are out there that may come to the forefront. So I'm a big believer in karma, and I think what she did was 100% wrong. Yeah, maybe he was flossing a little bit. You know, he's a young guy. You know, got a little money. That's what we, you know, that's what they do. And but that was, well, she was 100% wrong with that. And if by chance those new pictures, you know, happen to get to my email, you know, I'm not just putting it out there. I, you know, it may just happen to pop up somewhere on the site. I, you know, because hey, I believe in karma. You know, I don't try to, you know, just expose people just to expose, but iCarly star, you were wrong for that. That's not the Nickelodeon way. Nick Cannon wouldn't have done that. Nick Cannon wouldn't have done that, Jill. So I just want to put that out there. If you just, you might want to stay on Black Sports Online. You never know what you might see over these next couple of days. But we got to move on.
But here's my thing. Really, somebody's checking to see her nude flicks? I mean, not like that. Maybe.
I mean, she's cute. I mean, cute, okay. You know, white girl, cute, you know, she, you know, whatever. You know those Nickelodeon girls, they wild. They get wild as soon as they leave the network, as soon as they leave the network. But we got to get to the next topic, and it's actually a question. It's a question from actually last week. You know, we were, we had our interview with Sandrina, and she was telling us about, you know, the groupie life and everything. And one of the questions that kind of came out of that was that, you know, why do these women, when they know that the athletes are cheating, they know the lifestyle that they're leading, you know, why are they continuously having, you know, unprotected sex with them? Why are they having these break babies with them? If they know the risk and the lifestyle, you know, your average everyday person can't understand this. So we're going to bring in Jill, who says she has some thoughts on this, to help you average everyday girl that works at Walmart. You know, Jill doesn't go to Walmart, but your average everyday girl that works at Walmart, Jill is going to explain to you why this keeps taking place.
Well, one, I mean, everybody wants to think that they're the one, that they're the special one. He may have been that way with them, but, you know, I make the difference. I don't know if you guys get this reference. There was a movie called Harlem Nights back in the day. There's a character named Sunshine. And Sunshine had the sunshine radiating from other areas, allegedly. So, I mean, I think every girl probably wants to think in those scenarios that they have the sunshine and they're gonna, you know, change him. And a lot of these guys are wealthy, you know, attractive depending upon your taste. And who doesn't want to be the one? As far as them having babies, if they are in it to begin with for a financial gain, then there's your answer. Or they want to be tied to the guy for the rest of their life because they love them deep down in their heart and they want to be able to, you know, bring this connection forth with the baby. It's like any other scenario. You guys know that some of your boyfriends are cheating with Lakeisha down the block or Sarah up the street. So it's kind of the same thing. It's the same thing.
You know, I have the Randy Moss thought on this, you know, straight cash on me. I mean, not all. I'm not saying all. I'm sure some, you know, actually love, you know, whatever. But I think, you know, some, you'll see it as an ends to a mean. You know, if you don't have the education, you don't have a lot of aspirations and maybe goals in life, or maybe your goal is simply to, you know, be with an athlete or have a baby by an athlete. Maybe you see that as your way of winning the lottery, so to speak. So instead of going to play the Powerball, you know, you just go to All-Star. I mean, your chances actually may be better at All-Star than it is, you know, playing, you know, Powerball, you know, every week. So I understand it. Here's the thing, Jill, and I think we all, and I'm not just talking about athletes, I'm talking about humans, is in the heat of the moment, a lot of times our top brain doesn't work, you know, properly. And things happen. You know, everybody's not plotting and planning. I think sometimes it's just you caught up in the moment, and with certain people, you know, people that possibly have $10 million in the bank, it's easier to just, you know, kind of say, well, I just roll the dice and see what happens.
I mean, yeah, but I still think that sometimes, you know, everybody's human. They can develop feelings. And then look at the situation like with Tara Owen. That child support money may not go 5 years. So you better live it up real, real hard for those first 5 years. And then two, the danger in that situation now is that some of these guys are trying to take custody of their kids. They'd rather pay a nanny and a staff than to pay you to raise the child. So I don't know. It's a gamble.
It's a gamble. It's a risk. I mean, it's a life circle. And I think, you know, like you said, it's a gamble. It's like going to Vegas, you know. But I've seen a lot of dudes at Vegas, you know, put their rent money on the table and then have to, you know, call their girl and understand and say, hey, you know, I can't get you that purse now because I don't spend it on the blackjack table. So, you know, I understand. It's an interesting topic, but I think people shouldn't judge, you know, unless you're in that situation. It's very difficult for you to know how you would react, you know, to that situation. But we're going to move on because this topic drives me crazy. It simply drives me crazy. You know, LeBron last night, doing what LeBron type things, you know, drop 61 on the Bobcats. It does it in a very efficient, you know, manner. And literally, while the game is still going on, you see the Kobe fans and the Kobe stands and the Kobe haters all kind of come out at the same time, because now we got to compare LeBron 61 to Kobe's 81. And it's not just us, you know, it's not just the fans, it's not just Twitter, you know. First Take this morning, that was their hot topic, that hot take, you know, got to skip times everything. You know, when you see that, Jill, you know, what do you think? Do you think that's fair game, that when LeBron does something, it has to be compared to Kobe, or when Kobe does something, it has to be compared to Jordan? You know, when Melo does something, nobody cares, but that's a different story for a different day. But do you think that's fair? Like, in your mind, do you think that's fair? Am I overreacting? Tell me your thoughts.
I think you're overreacting. Fair is, you know, judgmental. But like you said, Kobe was compared to Jordan with everything he did. People still say, but he's not Jordan, though. Oh, he wants to be Jordan. It's what happened. When you're talking about people that are at the epitome of their game, the top, they are the best to do it, some of the best to do it, their game is going to be compared to those in the past who were great. So I think it's a natural part of what goes on. Kobe's 81 points was the second highest in the NBA ever. So naturally, it's going to come up. You know, I don't know why Melo didn't come up, considering he scored 62 against the same team not even a month ago, but that's just how people are. What LeBron did was fantastic. He did it in a different way that Kobe did. LeBron's was a lot of outside shots. That three was flowing for him for whatever reason last night, his long-range shot, whereas Kobe's was a little bit more diverse on the floor. He also was being more aggressive, taking it to the basket, so he had you know, more time at the free throw line. So it's a different thing. It's going to happen. They're both incredible feats that people need to recognize and appreciate, but it's natural that, you know, it happens.
Okay. Well, here's the issue, though. Here's the issue. You're talking like a rational person. You know, these people are not rational. You know, they're on Savannah's, you know, Instagram page and talking about, you know, you need, until you upgrade to look like Vanessa, you know, I don't want to hear about your man. You know, I mean, they really are over the top. And I'm all about, you know, I'm good on debates. You know, if you want to say, hey, you know, LeBron did this, let's debate it in historical terms, I got you. But when you're going on his wife's Instagram page, and you're talking about, you know, shut the blank up, you know, Mamba rules, I think there's something wrong with that. I think there's something wrong mentally, you know, with you to do that. You know, there are two different players, you know, two different eras, two different situations and everything. I think as long as people are explaining the entire thing, just like you did, you know, you explain how the different ways that it happened, the different type of games that they played, that's fine. You know, you're a very rational and intelligent person. Unfortunately, these people that are online, and even some of these people in the media, are not rational and everything. So that's why I need them to take it, have, you know, calm down, relax, drink a Capri Sun, ease up, at least let the game be over, you know, before you start arguing. It just seems like these days with
our
social media,
I think
everything argued. Everybody got to argue. Nobody's happy anymore. I'm happy. Aren't you happy? I don't understand. People just seem to be very angry on social media. Why are they so angry, Jill?
I think because it's an outlet that they can get off their frustrations about everything that they're going through in life, rather anonymously, for the most part, and there's no repercussions for it.
Yeah. Well, I want you guys to be happy. Not, you know, so if you got to put on, you know, a Pharrell or whatever and start dancing, you do that, you know. But another interesting topic that we had, and this is a little bit, you know, outside of sports, but it was something that I thought about, is Billy Corbin had a very good documentary on VH1. It was called The Tanning of America. It was talking about how hip-hop, you know, really changed the culture of hip-hop, you know, changed the way Americans looked at African-American, you know, males and society and in business and everything. And I know, Jill, you're very business-minded, and we both of us grew up in that classic, you know, hip-hop era. You know, how did hip-hop affect you as individually, and how do you think that it affected sports, you know, overall, you know, kind of branching that his documentary out to like a sports level?
Well, the documentary was based on a book by music industry executive Steve Stout. He discovered a bunch of people. He actually was the first person to sign 50 Cent, hence their beef, because he dropped him too. But for me, if you even think about it, like, let's look at what happened with Jordan and his band shoes, you know, because they were red and black. And then the next series of commercials featuring Spike Lee, who was at the time hip-hop, kind of, sort of, you know, with his Morris Blackman character. I think that the overall embracing of hip-hop as pop music, the mainstream music, really the music of the younger generation, just like how in the 60s, you know, rock and roll took over and there were hippies and that was their music and free love and it represented their collective conscience and how it moved on. That's what sort of happened with hip-hop. All the angst about what was going on, how we expressed ourselves, the fashion just took over. And I think that you saw that carryover in corporate America, because corporate America always wants to hook the younger consumer. Why? Because they are more involved in purchasing. They're more likely to switch up their purchasing habits and try something new. They are more likely to try different things. So that is why corporate had to embrace the hip-hop generation, because it's what the kids wanted. You know, you think about, it mentioned the Beastie Boys, and there are these little Jewish white guys from Long Island doing hip-hop. That brought in punk fans. It just brought in a whole mishmash of different types of fans just based on music. And that's pure. That's a pure love. And if you can carry that over and keep that same energy going with your product, it's an important thing, and it gets people to buy. The whole part about Tommy Hilfiger and how his brand, the all-American, you know, brand, not, I mean, obviously that's Polo, but to a certain degree, that's what it represented. And next thing you know, we're having Snoop rocking it on Arsenio Hall, or Aaliyah featured in their ads with Quincy Jones' daughter as the creative on these shoots. So it affected everything. You can look at the NBA today and tell how the NBA and hip-hop came up together. The NBA has the highest concentration of African-American fans. They also have the youngest fan base of all the major sports. So it is sort of a rebirth. It is the new mainstream.
Yeah, and it's something that I always tell people. I don't have a lot of talent. You know, I'm very, the changing the tire could be a whole documentary on just on me trying to change a tire. You know, but the two things when I was growing up, it was sports and, you know, it was hip hop, you know, and that was pretty much it. You know, it was sports and hip hop. You know, I wanted to be a rapper, you know, and I wanted to be a sportscaster, you know, and those things kind of intertwined. And it was interesting to me while watching the documentary, you know, they, like you said, they were talking about how all of these businesses and things like that, they started to intertwine. And I remember, you know, when I was younger, you watched Stuart Scott, and, you know, he would drop the Wu-Tang references on SportsCenter. To me, that was a big deal. You know, Kenny Mayne used to, you know, talk about Tupac, you know, in his SportsCenter stuff. And to me, that was like, okay, I can do that. And even as now, you know, as I was coming up and I was doing Black Sports Online, you know, I drop these little things, and I always try to tell people, if you read a lot of my stuff, it's almost like reading, you know, a rap, because that's how I got my writing skills when I was younger. You know, when we would do articles, you know, and the dudes get, you know, arrested or whatever, we would put at the end, you know, smarten up, Nas. You know, people didn't even understand what we were talking about, you know, but it was just little things, you know, like that, or when we quote Jay-Z, or when we quote Rick Ross, or something, or when we talk about Allen Iverson, you know, I'm wearing the fedora, you know, for Allen Iverson, you know, today, you know, and my crush Velvet, you know, before his retirement, you know.
Shout out to AI, that was my favorite basketball player.
You know, You know, Jordan was cool to me. You know, the Jordan was cool to me, but AI and the Fab Five and those type of guys, to me, it was like sports and hip-hop are, you know, connected. So that documentary really hit me good because it has such an effect, and as you get older, you don't even realize it sometimes, that sports and hip-hop in all, you know, you listen to Richard Sherman, you know, the tape that he did, you know, all of that stuff seems intertwined with that culture. And I think sometimes we forget as a culture and as a community what type of power that we actually have if we use the power for good, which is, you know, something that I'm always trying to stress, you know, push positives and everything. So great documentary by Billy Corbin. Next time, though, and AI, I know he's watching.
I'm sorry, Rob. I just want to state the fact that I believe that AI is as significant to basketball as Jordan is, simply for the fact that he ushered in the hip-hop era in the NBA. The braids, the attitude, the swagger, the jewelry, everything. And that Jules mixtape would have been fire.
It would have been fire. David Stern didn't do it. Yeah, but I mean, remember the arm? The arm sleeve, the braids, the tattoos, the crossover, all of that is, you know, AI. That's, you know, all of that is AI. So he definitely should get his props. Tawana, so, you know, stop trying to take all the man money, though. Stop trying to take all the man money.
He shouted out Tawana. He shouted out Tawana. He understands. She's not trying to take his money. He should have been responsible. He Tawana earned that just like he did.
Did Tawana tell you that?
Did Tawana tell you that?
Did Tawana tell you that? Billy Corbin, I know you're watching.
Gotta have me and Jill on
the next documentary, Billy Corbin. I know you're watching right now. You gotta have us on. You know, the break room needs to travel. And don't worry, you know, Jill won't go to Walmart, but she'll handle the documentaries and stuff. But you know, one last topic before we get out of here and everything. The Oscars was, you know, on Sunday, Hollywood and all of that good stuff. You know, Jill is Hollywood, you know, Stiletto Jill, LA, Cali and everything. What'd you think of the Oscars? You know, I'm a big fan of Ellen and everything. What'd you think of the Oscars?
Let me just clarify, you don't go Hollywood when you're from Hollywood. I just am. So the Oscars, Ellen was incredible. This is like their third year at a record high as far as ratings. I think the whole integration of Twitter, the selfie, which has become the most retweeted moment ever, surpassing President Obama and his photo with Michelle that they put up when he won the election a couple years ago. So it was great. And the Oscars is usually, I watch, but it's usually long and pretty dull. And it seemed to move along a bit faster. We got some hip hop in there with Pharrell on stage. We hadn't had that since Juicy J and them won for, Whoop That Trick or Hide Right Home for a Pimp. I don't know. I don't remember one of them songs. The fact that that was done on the Oscars. And then, of course, with Lupita winning and the director from Gravity, which is the first... Was he the first Latino director to receive an Oscar?
I think so.
And then, of course, 12 Years of a Slave winning Best Movie. I have not seen 12 Years of a Slave. I'm going to keep it real because I feel like I have to work my way up to watching slavery movies. I have to be in the proper mind frame. So I haven't watched it yet, but I do plan on checking it out. It's a great ceremony. I loved it. Well, we're kind of over time. We know you guys got to get back to work. I appreciate you hanging out with us during your break. You know, we are here every Tuesday live, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. If you want to follow Rob, make sure you hit him up at BLK Sports Online on Twitter. I'm Stiletto Jill on Twitter. Obviously, go check out the site Black Sports Online and JacksonStilettoJill.com. We have all the hottest sports stories. We give you the news first. Trust us. We told you last week about Raymond Felton and his cheating ways and that's why his wife was filing for divorce. And then look, it comes out today. So make sure you stick with us. Roll with winners. Strive for greatness. That's a LeBron shout out. See you guys next time.